We left off in the previous year, we were talking about the malacha of ma'amer. Ma'amer is a very, very strange malacha. There's very, very little in the Gemara about it, and most of the discussion in the Rishonim is based on what doesn't appear in the Gemara. So the Gemara says that one of the lamates malachas, the Mishnah records as ma'amer, is gathering ma'amer ma'lumim v'zachasodeh, gathering up the grain, gathering up the sheaves of the bundles of grain, and probably some kind of tying it, piling it, etc., something along those lines. Not exactly clear. That is the malacha deraisa ma'amer. The only thing the Gemara discusses explicitly about ma'amer is whether it's limited only to gedulei karka, or whether it maybe makes sense with other kinds of non-gedulei karka. The Gemara discusses the collecting of the salt from the salt mines, whether that's a malacha deraisa, that's only in the siddur rabbanan. But again, the basic teresa malacha is, for sure, including gedulei karka, just a mere gathering of stuff together, that is a problem. So all the Rishonim jump on the fact that the Gemara talks about other cases that don't seem to meet the criteria of ma'amer. The question is, why not? So one of the famous Gemaras that we spoke about last year was the Gemara Masechet Beitza. It talks about gathering wood for firewood on Yom Tov. The Gemara has a very, very long, elaborate discussion about the intricacies of mutzah, whether the wood is collected from a place where the person's das was to use the wood, not to use the wood. It's a mutzah, the mukhar, and there. So comes to us on the spot and says, what happened to ma'amer? Then we have a much more serious problem in our hands of ma'amer, which is a derai, so it's one dream, it's a couple of mukhtah, the rabbanon. What happened to the bigger problem of ma'amer? So different Rishonim had different solutions to that answer. So we mentioned last week that Tosis concludes that the answer to that question is that it's not the Mokam Gedulam. The Malacham Ma'amr only applies where the item actually grew. Here the Gemara happens to be talking about, I have wood scattered in some other place, not necessarily where it actually grew. And therefore Ma'amr doesn't apply. Ma'amr only applies to Mokam Gedulam. And the Rambam doesn't mention that at all. The Rambam seems to give a different answer to that question. The Rambam, in describing Malacha Ma'amr, describes that Ma'amr is only violated when you tie this stuff together, when you literally tie it into a bundle. Just merely gathering and piling at something, that's not going to be Ma'amr. So again, the Rambam doesn't ask the question, doesn't give the tariffs, because it would appear from the Rambam's presentation of Malacha Ma'amr that that's in fact what his opinion is. So how do we understand these sheetahs? Two very, very strange sheetahs, both Tosfos and the Rambam. Almost arbitrary. Where do we ever find that the malacha, that a malacha depends on where it's done? As we mentioned last week in a half of a joke, bishul is only violated in the kitchen, and if you cook in the bedrooms, you're not over mishum bishul. Remember years ago I taught at Hilchos Shabbos for a couple of years, I used to teach Hilchos Shabbos in Stern. So we broke it down to four different semesters. They didn't have to take me all four, but it was a four semester thing. So many of your wives were in my class at the time. It was back a couple of years. So one of the semesters was called Hilchos Shabbos in the kitchen. One was called Hilchos Shabbos in the kitchen, one was called Hilchos Shabbos in the rest of the house. One was called like carrying a mukta, and one was mitzese. So Hilchos Shabbos in the kitchen. So I taught this class for a couple of years until I got some kind of a comment that some of the women felt they were insulted by the phrase Hilchos Shabbos in the kitchen. They felt it was demeaning. They felt it was stating that women's place was in the kitchen. I said, that wasn't the meaning of the statement. I said, it didn't say Hilchos Shabbos for women in the kitchen. I said, men also have to know about Hilchos Shabbos in the kitchen. And cooking usually does take place in the kitchen, so I apologized. And I still kept the name of the course, because I thought it was a ridiculous claim. So Hilchos Shabbos in the kitchen, bishul takes place in the kitchen, or in the bedroom, or in the backyard, or any other place. So where do we ever find the ma'amer? Strange thing, ma'amer is limited only to one kind of a place. And also the Rambam Shita seems to be also very, very, very vague. It means the fact that I tied it together, that makes the malacha. If the nature, the malacha is not tying, kosher is a different malacha on Shabbos. If the malacha is, I'll shame the gathering, so why does it make a difference whether I pile it together, whether I tie it together? Why is that slight nuance so significant? So maybe the answer to both of these questions is really one fundamental yisod about malacha ma'amer, which touches really on another yisod about all of the Hilchos Shabbos, actually 38 out of the malachas, in contrast to one, that one is not a set ma'amer. And that is a question that Tosfos raises in the end, Masechet Shabbos, when the Gemara begins to search for what's the source for different malachas of Shabbos in the Chumash itself. So the Gemara wants to know, Menonimidi, where does the Chumash describe the malach of carrying on Shabbos? So the question is a very, very strange question. The Gemara comes up with an answer based on Psukim and Parshas Vayakel, but just the mere question of the Gemara raises a question, because the Gemara doesn't do this with other malachas. The Gemara does not ask, oh, by the way, how do you know you're not allowed to grind on Shabbos? And how do you know you're not allowed to write on Shabbos? How do you know you're not allowed to do the laundry on Shabbos? The Gemara never asks those questions, because the answer is so obvious. We have a tradition that losasik malacha, malacha means malachas ha-mishkan. Since time and time again, the Torah speaks about Shabbos and Mishkan in the same breath, in Parshas Kisisa, Nisan, Marshal Yakel. So there's a clear connection between the two. So the definition of Malacha for all practical purposes on Shabbos is Malachas HaMishkan. So now we just have to go back to history and figure out what did they do in Malachas HaMishkan. So the Gemara says we have a clear tradition what they did. They were Chayris, Arei, Akotz. That's what we're learning now, third round Malachas. So we know exactly what the Malachas were. So when the Torah says Losaska Malacha, Malacha translates to mean Mishkan. Mishkan, we know what was in the Mishkan. So what's the Shabbos? Why is it going to wake up, good morning, and all of a sudden discuss, how do you know you're not allowed to carry? So Tosfos points out, at the very beginning of Masechet Shabbos, that carrying, the Gemara already sensed, was different. Why was carrying different? Because carrying is what's called in Halacha, Malacha Geruah. It's a very, very low-level Malacha. What makes it so low-level? Why is carrying different? So the Ozarua, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, Mashkenaz, Ozarua, he was the Rav in Vienna, it's in Vienna. So the Ozarua explains that all other Malachas change the Chefts itself. I had a blank piece of paper, and now I have letters on the paper. I had a raw egg, now I have a cooked egg. I had a dirty clothing, now I have a clean clothing. So all Malachas change the very essence, change the Chefts itself. Carrying is a funny Malacha, because nothing really changed. It's the same Sefer, now it was in the street, now it's in the house. Now it was in the house, now it's in the street. I didn't do anything. There was no change in the Chafetza. So therefore, there was a Ruach explains to us that I would have suggested, I would have made a case that you wouldn't really be chayef for carrying. Even though it was in the Mishkan, it doesn't matter. The fact that it's a Malacha Geruah, the fact that nothing changed to the item, that in and of itself is a problem, that in and of itself detracts from its status as a Malacha. So that's why the Gemara needs a pasuk. Kamash Malon, by the way, notwithstanding the fact that Hotzah is such a cheap, low-level Malacha, it's still Chayav and Shabbos. It's still considered to be part of the parasha of the Chol Shabbos, but I needed a pasuk to tell me that. So that's the Yisrael that if he has a Tosis and Azeruah, we shared in the beginning of Sechah Shabbos. So maybe we can borrow that idea and plug it into Malacha Ma'amer. Because Ma'amer is very similar to that, that nothing really changed. It's not like Kotzer. Kotzer, I took something that used to be growing, it was attached to the ground. So everybody senses there's a big difference between an apple on a tree and an apple sitting on the table. Everyone senses that there's a big difference between a seed that's sitting in my hand and a seed that's now planted and has taken root in the ground. That's a cheater. That's a change in the Chetzah. Ma'amer, what is Ma'amer? I had a couple of bundles of grain on the floor, so I wrapped them up together and put them into one pile. That's what happened. Nothing changed. So almost the same problem that Tosfos and Yozarua have vis-a-vis the Malach of carrying almost presents itself vis-a-vis Ma'amer as well. The challenge with Malach of Ma'amer, because it doesn't seem to be a significant change, it doesn't seem to be any real change in the Chetz itself. So just because it was done in the Mishkan, why should that qualify as Chilul Shabbos? So maybe that's the answer, that's the question that the Rishonim are challenged with. That's the question the Rishonim are trying to tackle. So what is the change of Malach of Ma'amer? So the Rambam came up with not a bad change. The Rambam says, well, you tied it together. If you just take a bunch of grain and just pile it together, so I really didn't do anything. What's the difference with the grains here, the grains here, the grains one on top of another? That's all the same thing. But if I go ahead and I wrap it up, I go ahead and I make it into a guf echad, I take the scattered bundles and turn it into one entity, that's a very different story. That's already a change. That's a shiri in the chetzah. That's not a malacha grew anymore. So maybe that's the Rambam solution to this problem. That the reason why the bundling, the tying together is so critical, and that's why they're just merely gathering sticks of wood and just holding it together, it doesn't do anything. That's not ma'amer. Is because we're lacking in that malachas of chashivas, and it falls into the category of malacha geruah. So what was Tosfos' solution to this problem? If Tosfos was bothered with the same kasha, how does Tosfos solve the problem? By saying, no, if it happens, we welcome gedulam, then it's a problem. How does that impact on it being a malacha geruah? So maybe Tosfos has an entirely different theory that's going on. We usually, when we learn Hilchos Shabbos, when we think of the 39 malachas as 39 separate, distinct acts, they have nothing to do with each other. Means either I violated Kosev, or I violated Tochen, or I violated Otsah. One malacha doesn't relate to another malacha. But not always so simple. There are some malachas that sometimes they're considered to be malachas because of their relationship to other kinds of malachas. Because they're almost like preparatory to other malachas. Lamasha, we didn't get to this malacha yet, but hopefully we're going to talk about the malacha of Tochen. The Gemara says in Shabbos that cutting up a vegetable is a potential concern of Tochen. At least most Rishonim learn the way. Some Rishonim learn the Gemara a little bit differently. But in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in that cutting up a vegetable can potentially be a problem of Tochen. The women were all up in arms about this. That was two Hilchos Shabbos rooms ago. So we spoke about salad. So I heard that in case you haven't noticed, you haven't been eating salads anymore. So the women said they're not cutting any more vegetables. Rather, made it too complicated. Then last year I said that all about opening packages. So the women told me that they're not opening anything anymore. So in case you have the shops, it's starting to detract. And now tomorrow next year is about cleaning clothes and taking out stains and folding and tying. So in case all your kids' clothes are filthy for the rest of the Shabbos, so you know why. So we blame it on the rabbi. So back to this story. So the Gemara talks about tochet. So the Rishonim have a big machlokes. What do the words mean? I cut up a vegetable. I sit around and I cut up a cucumber. That's tochet. It's kind of hard to believe. So it's not always tochet. In certain conditions, after have to be meant for it to be tochet. But some Rishonim say, yep, it is. That in theory, you can cut up a cucumber. If you cut it up too small, or if you don't cut it up right for the meal, there are ways to actually violate tochet deraisa by simply making a salad. And the Rambam doesn't seem to say that. The Rambam, when he quotes the din of cutting up vegetables, the Rambam writes that tochen as a yerakadei levashlov. The Rambam writes that when you cut up a vegetable for the purpose of subsequently cooking it, that is a potential malach of tochen. Well, what do those words mean? So the Rambam seems to be saying that the mere cutting up of vegetables in a vacuum is not really a malacha. There's nothing really to it. It was a big cucumber, now it's a little cucumber. What kind of a malacha is that? But when it's done as part of a process, it's done with my eye to the future. I'm cutting up the vegetable, I'm cutting up a potato in order, you're cutting up a vegetable for the purpose of cooking the vegetable, so then that act becomes almost like a hechsher for bishul. It becomes like a preparatory stage to bishul, and that takes on the characteristics of a malacha. So that's an important you saw from the Rambam, that sometimes you can have the same action, that if it's looked at in a vacuum, it's not really a malacha. It falls short, it's not significant, but when it's part of an entire process, that gives it the status of a malacha. So maybe that's what's going on in malacha ma'amer, according to Tosfos as well. Just merely gathering together grain doesn't really mean too much to me. That's not a significant malacha, that's a malacha geruah. But if I do it as the conclusion of the harvesting process, it's part of the procedure. This is how you harvest your grain. First you cut it off the ground, and then you bundle it up, and then you put it together. When it's done in the context of harvesting, that gives it much more significance. That which is lacking in the action per se, intrinsically, ma'amar is not really malacha. But as ma'amar is the gemara ketzira, when it's the end of the kotzer process, that's what gives it chashivus. That's what declares it to be a malacha. So if that's the case, then I understand fully well what Tosfos is saying. It has to be b'makom gedulo. How in the world can you envision it being the end of the harvesting if you're doing it in the house? Harvesting means out in the field. So you get your farmers out there in their overall on Shabbos morning, and the guy just finished harvesting, and now he's gathering. That's a malacha. But if you have some grain, you have some wood sitting around in your living room, and you decide just to take a couple of sticks and put it together, that's not gemar ketzira. It has nothing to do with ketzira. And that's why Tosfos holds that the makom gedulo is so critical. So when it comes to bishul, it doesn't matter where bishul happens, because bishul itself is a malacha. When it comes to kosev, it doesn't matter where you write, because writing itself intrinsically is a malacha. But ma'amah, which is only a malacha, ashev, b'gmar ketzira, it makes sense that it has to be b'makom gedulo. That may also shed some light on what we spoke about last week, that according to at least one opinion of the Gemara, the way most of the Rishonim Paskin, ma'amah min ha-Torah doesn't really make sense unless it's gedula karka. The gathering of the soil, that can't really be ma'amah deraisa. Why not? So we thought last week, the reason why it can't be ma'amah deraisa, because it's not similar to Mishkan. So whenever you use the model of Mishkan, we always get very, very weary. How literal do we borrow the model of Mishkan? So maybe there's a different reason. Maybe the reason why it's not even feasible to talk about ma'amer out of the realm of gedula karka, if the whole essence of the malach is gemar haktzira, so when you have an act of kotzer, then it can be followed with an act of ma'amer. But just to do an act of ma'amer in a vacuum, just to go and take your salt or something, that doesn't mean anything. When there's no kotzer, by definition, there's no ma'amer. So if there's no makom ketzira, then by definition, there's no makom of ma'amer as well. So our kopanim, we have two approaches in the gedula rishonim to solve what seems to be the same problem. Why is ma'amer malach altogether? It's such a malacha grew, it's so insignificant, it doesn't change anything. So the Rambam says it does change, because you tied it together, ma'amish as a bundle. And Tosfos says, no, Tosfos says that it's a whole different approach. Tosfos says that because it's the Gemara Ketzira, that's what gives it the higher significance, the higher degree of qualifying as a malacha. How do we paskin in halach and Shulchan Aruch? So it appears that both of these approaches are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Tosus that Ba'amr is only violated by Bachan Kedulo. But then the Shulchan Aruch turns around and speaks about if a person strings figs, you know what I'm saying? You buy those figs that are on the strings or something. So Shulchan Aruch says, not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Not allowed to string the figs on Shabbos. Why not? It's a question of Ma'amr. Why is that Ma'amr? If I'm stringing the figs in my house, so what does that have to do with Ma'amr? Ma'amr is out where the figs grow. The Shulchan Aruch just told me a minute ago that Ma'amr is only violated out in the fields. So would the Acharonim right? That no, maybe both are right. That Shin Zatos is correct. If you didn't Mamish tie it together, you didn't make it into a bundle, so then you could only violate Ma'amr v'Machom Gidulo. If you did make it into a bundle, then that's another way of violating Ma'amr. That's the secondary way of violating Ma'amr, that you can also violate Ma'amr, because just the mere making it into a tie, making it into a bundle, that in and of itself becomes problematic in its own right. So it could be that we paskin that both approaches are correct. So it's not clear in the poskim. Does that mean we paskin that both approaches are right, but Torah is vaday? That means we'll give skila to the fellow who ties his figs, and also skila to the guy who gathers his grain out in the fields? Or do we say no, that each one may be right? We don't know what the answer to the question is. We know we have a good question, and we're not sure which approach is right. So it's a suffix deraisa, so we're not going to let you tie your figs, and we're not going to let you gather your grain in your fields. So we're not sure which is right. So that's really unclear, just how far are we going to go in terms of, are we really truly committed that these are outright violations of the Amr? But again, we're not going to do any of these things. So no one is going to go out in the field and start collecting the stuff in the field. It is a gomer on Shabbos, and Shabbos is a deraisa. And no one's going to go ahead and string the figs, if you would know how to do that on Tuesday also. You wouldn't do that in Shabbos either, because that's also a chashash, maybe it is a deraisa. No, that's not Ma'amr at all. For according to Tosfos, for sure it's not Ma'amr, and according to the Rambam, it's not stuck together, it's not making it into a unit together. No, I don't.
You can't, one of these large crates of oranges that go scattered all over your dining room, whatever it is.
Right, so Ma'amr, in terms of Ma'amr, it probably wouldn't be a problem, based on these two reasons. The Gemara has a discussion, the end of the Shabbos, Mishim Nispazlo Perosa Bechotzer, if all your fruits start scattering all over the place, it's the Shabbos of Tircha and Shabbos, other kinds of lower level Isurim, but Ma'amr wouldn't be.
How's that connected to the leaves there?
Oh, we're getting to the leaves. We still got a while to go. We still got to get to the leaves. That was the whole goal.
So you said, according to Tosfos, if you put it together in the field in a bundle, it's also Ma'amr without tying it.
Right, that's right. But also without tying it. Either one would be a violation of Ma'amr.
Like when the kids take some of their family candy, they put one candy on top of another candy. They have no licorice. They circle like Cheerios or whatever it might be. Or something.
What do you mean they put ones and strings?
Non-strings. No, it's
from
another edible product.
Licorice.
The
thin licorice.
They make like a necklace of the Cheerios, and they make a lot of stuff together. You may have hit the jackpot. Until, from the days of my Shavuot until today, no one ever figured out how to buy them Amid Rice until I'm still doing it. That would be the, it's Kedula Karka, Cheerios or liquid, it's all Kedula Karka.
Yeah, it's cooked.
Liquid has Kedula Karka. It was just flour and sugar.
Cheerios?
Where does it come? It comes from the ground.
It's all Kedula
Karka. It's all Kedula Karka. I think it's the problem.
Kedula Karka, but it's cooked. Cheerios.
It's still Kedula Karka. It's oats. It goes in the ground. Those oats grow in the ground? Let's check. Okay. Okay, so these are the two popular answers to this question. These are the answers that are usually quoted from the Rishonim as to why in the Sugya Masechet Beis, in the Sugya about Yom Tov, when it comes to the collecting the wood for firewood, how come the Gemara doesn't even mention anything about where did Ma'amr go? What happened to Ma'amr? So notwithstanding these answers that are given, there are several other answers that are suggested. Maybe there are other reasons why there's no Ma'amr. So there's an answer that's suggested in the Sefer Ma'arach HaZeruah. Ma'arach HaZeruah was the son of the HaZeruah. So the Ma'arach HaZeruah suggests that maybe the whole Tzura, the Malach of Ma'amr, is a person is gathering together their grain, and the goal is in order to hold on to it. Gathering the grain in order to put it away for storage, you want to eat it at a later point. That's what the goal of Ma'amr is. Otherwise, why do I have to gather my grain? Just leave everything I have to belt. So the answer is, I'm gathering it together. I want to put it into one safe place. I want to put it away, throw some preservative in, etc. That's the goal of Ma'amr. That's the tzur of the Malach of Ma'amr. The fellow who's collecting the wood is not interested in storing the wood at all. Forget, he wants to use the wood right now. if she wants to make a fire, the only problem is that it's not so practical to make a fire with one twig. So he needs a bunch of twigs together. So he's going to collect the twig and collect the twig, but he's not putting the twigs together and storing them for later use. He's doing it, he's collecting the twigs in the process of, in a sense, making his fire. So that's klal ma'amar. That's a different action. That's not ma'amar. So that may be a mukta issue. That's why the Gemara and Beitza discussed it from the vantage point of the mukta. But from the vantage point of the ma'amar, the whole nature of the malacha is not really violated. That's a suggestion that the ma'arach is a rugged. The Ran in Maseches Beitza quotes another answer from Rishonim, which has an important impact, one, Chos Yontav and Chos Shabbos. The Ran quotes from some Rishonim who answered the problem a little differently and said, you're right, the gathering wood on Shabbos would be a malacha deraisa ma'amer. Not just mukta, it would really be a deraisa ma'amer. So why does the Gemara ignore ma'amer? Because the Gemara is talking about a Yom Tov. If it would be Shabbos, no one in the right mind is gathering wood anyway. You can't make a firewood anyway on Shabbos. So the Mishnah's in Beitz, the Mishnah's talking about a Yom Tov. So on Yom Tov, the Ran quotes from Yesh Amrim, that on Yom Tov, ma'amer wouldn't be violated with wood. You know why? Because it would be covered by the hefer called Eichel Nefesh. Why is the person collecting this wood? What's the goal of collecting this wood? Obviously he wants to make a fire. So making a fire in Yom Tov is covered by Eichel Nefesh. So not so simple, says the Ran. You have to learn Eichel Nefesh. I'll take a little bit of digression to Chos Yom Tov for a minute. Says this is touched on what we spoke a little bit about on Shabbos morning, but Chol HaMoed. So comes the Ran and says, is collecting wood Eichel Nefesh? Was collecting wood something else? So says the Ran, it depends what you're using the wood for. If you're using the wood to cook, so then that is not called Eichel Nefesh. That is what we call Machshire Eichel Nefesh. Machshire Eichel Nefesh means stages of preparation before actual Eichel Nefesh itself. So let's say, for example, if I want to cook on Yom Tov, that's Eichel Nefesh. But if my pot broke, and I want to fix my pot on Yom Tov, that's not Eichel Nefesh. I'm not going to eat my pot. I'm doing something that's going to help me, enable me to cook. That's called Machshire Eichel Nefesh. So Machshire Eichel Nefesh is very, very tricky. And you know, Eichel Nefesh is mutter. It's a pasuk in Chumash, this week's Parsha, Parshas Bo. But Machshire Eichel Nefesh is much trickier. So sometimes I'm saying, Machshire Eichel Nefesh is outright asur. You can't do anything. The Torah says, Ach Hashir Eichel Eichel Nefesh, Hu Levado Yasel Lechem. So sometimes I'm saying, Levado, only that. Only if you can eat the food is a mutter, but if you want to make a pot, or you want to sharpen a knife, or you want to fix a refrigerator, or you want to fix an oven, all those Machshire Eichel Nefesh, those are absolutely outright usur on Yom Tov min HaTorah. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's something that could have been done from before Yom Tov, so then it's taka usur min HaTorah. But if it broke on Yom Tov, your refrigerator broke on Yom Tov, your oven broke on Yom Tov, your knife broke on Yom Tov, your pot broke on Yom Tov, Rabbi Yehuda says min HaTorah, you're allowed to fix it. You're laughing. It's mutter to machshir and she'ef shemi be'al yom. If it's machshir eichel nefesh, those are all subsumed under the category of eichel nefesh. So some of you are probably wondering, how come I've never heard of that kula? Nobody ever told me that. The rabbi never told me that I'm allowed to fix my refrigerator if it broke on Yom Tov. So the answer is because, and here this gets tricky, because the Gemara says this is what's called the halacha of Emorin Kain. That the halacha, strictly speaking, is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you are allowed to fix your refrigerator, but you're not allowed to tell people that. If you tell people that, they're going to be mezalzel, they're going to take Yom Tov lightly, they're going to do things they're not allowed to do. So now I'm in a little bit of a pickle. Yesterday, when we spoke about this in the Shabbos here in the morning, came up, so there are only three or four people here, so I took the liberty to tell everybody about it, because I think only three or four guys here anyway, so it's not, the word's not going to get out. So it's the halacha. Now I got 50 guys here, so I'm afraid, so you didn't hear it from me. But the halacha is that it says in Shul Halacha Beimur Kain that you're not, turn off the record, you're not allowed to tell anybody this, but that's the din. Off the record, in terms of lamdas, that's the din, that machshir eichel nefesh, eif shem yavid yom are in fact permissible. So when we're dealing with gathering wood and violating ma'amer, this is not eichel nefesh, this is machshir eichel nefesh. That's not going to help us, says the Ran. No, it depends. Says the Ran, if you're gathering wood for the purpose of cooking with that wood, so that's machshir eichel nefesh, and that's going to fall short. But what if you're gathering wood to heat up the house? So the Ran says, guess what? That's not machshir eichel nefesh. That's eichel nefesh mamish. Why is it eichel nefesh mamish? Because tzorchei haguf are considered to be part of eichel nefesh. When the Torah speaks about eichel nefesh, it doesn't only refer to eating. Any tzorchei haguf are considered to be subsumed under the category of eichel nefesh. When you're heating up wood, when you're making a fire with wood to heat up the house, you are enjoying the wood itself. Your body is benefiting from the heat that's being made by that wood. That's called Eichel Nefesh proper. So it's a strange thing. If I were to ask most people, which do you think is more Eichel Nefesh? Making a fire for cooking or making a fire to heat up the house? So most people would say, making a fire for cooking, that's real Eichel Nefesh. Wrong. The opposite is true, says the Ran. When you make a fire to cook, that's machshiri ruach nefesh, because you're not eating the wood. When you make a fire to heat up the house, that's ruach nefesh mamish, because your body is benefiting from the heat of that wood itself. So therefore, the Rav Kotz HaChaim will say, on yontif, it's mutlach hechila. You're allowed to get, you're allowed to do ma'amr. Ma'amr is mutlach for the purposes of ruach nefesh. It's hetta gomor. The only thing is that the Mishnah doesn't spell out what you're using that wood for. So the Rav says, no problem. He says, once it's mutter to collect wood for the purposes of heating up the house, that's echol nefesh. We plug in another rule in Chaz Yontif called mitoch. Mitoch shehutra letzorech, heating the house. Hutra nami letzorech ochol nefesh. It's the ultimate opposite of Chaz Yontif. It's not Chaz Yontif, literally upside down. Normally Chaz Yontif starts with, because you're allowed to carry food to eat, therefore you can carry a machzor. Because you're allowed to do X in terms of food, you can do Y, not have your food here. Because it's mutter to heat the house to keep you warm, therefore you're allowed to collect the wood in order to cook as well. So it's a remarkable achir, remarkable sheet that Ryan quotes the name of achir, some anonymous Rishonim, who say that's pshat, that's what's going on. How come nobody else thought of that? How come Tosfos didn't think of that? Nobody else thought of that. So I'll tell you why Tosfos didn't think of that. Throw back what we said before, a couple of weeks ago. Tosfos quotes through Rishonim that says that only certain malachas are covered by Ochel Nefesh. Those malachas are where? The Elisha Veiloch. Anything before Elisha, anything before kneading on the list. Ma'amr is way before Elisha. It's also in a Torah. There's no Ochel Nefesh on Ma'amr. Tosfos thought that's a big joke. There's no Ochel Nefesh on Ma'amr. So therefore, Tosfos, Lishitosam, had to come up with another answer. So Tosfos had to come up with the idea that's not Lachem Gedulim, etc., all the solutions that we came up with before. But this answer that the Rav says is a fascinating answer. It's a whole new way of viewing Ma'amr and Ochel Nefesh and Machshirin, etc. But again, this was one other answer that Rishonim has. If you look at the Rishonim, I think that maybe there are more, but in Rishonim, there are four official answers to this kasha. What happened to Ma'amr when you're collecting wood on Yom Tov? Tosfos says it's not Lachem Gedulim. The Rav implies that you're not tying into a bundle. The Ma'amr Zeruah says you're not using it for storage. And Ryan calls from Yesh Omrim that because it's on Yom Tov and therefore it's covered by the Hetzer of Ochel Nefesh.
Why is gathering the wood Ochel Nefesh? Isn't that always
much? I mean, the gathering gufa is considered to be. So the Ryan defines Ochel Nefesh is any melacha that's done with the item itself that's going to be Mahanayu, that's called Ochel Nefesh. That's the way the Ryan is remagged, repackaged as Ochel Nefesh.
In this case,
in Yom Tov, it would depend on the right. According to the Achayim, would be more because Ma'am is a freebie on, especially if you can eat it. So Ma'am would be a freebie on Yom Tov. The only problem is that according to Tosfos, it would be in a Sederais on Yom Tov because it's before Lisha. So before Lisha is a big problem. You mean, of course, according to Tosfos, it will be Mutarendi because that's Yom Zula. But the problem is that with Choshen and Shulchan Aruch for the other reason of the Rambam, that once you make it into a tie, so tie is automatically a problem, even Shalom Machum Gedulim. You're trying to save your friend. It's Evan Simpson. You have to shame him. You have to shame him. But there it's just wrong for me. That was a joke. He knows a lot of American people.
You also have the same issue with
prepared vegetables. Or on Yom Tov. No, on Yom Tov, you're cutting the vegetables, so that's Ochel Nefesh. That's a machshirin. Machshirin means I'm going to fix my refrigerator. That's machshirin. So I'm not going to eat the refrigerator. But when I'm going to eat the vegetables, so whatever I'm doing. Right. It's also preparation. Everything's ultimately preparation. But machshirin means that the item that I'm doing the melacha on, I'm not even going to eat. I'm just going to use it to be mashed or something else. Again, there are other halachas that may govern the cutting and slicing of vegetables. What do you want about cutting vegetables? You're not asking about cutting meat, maybe.
Gathering the wood to heat water, showering, I guess.
Wow, oh my goodness. You just threw like a 100 monkey wrenches. And so, if this is tricky, I don't think that would be Ochel Nefesh. I think that's Machshir Ochel Nefesh. Whatever, even if you think showering is water, you know, that it's not Ochel Nefesh Ramesh because you're not being nanya from the wood proper. Only where that's a direct, that's what the Ram says, is a direct relation between the fire, the heat coming out of the wood, that's what's not. That's the Ochel Nefesh Ramesh.
So like a modern heating system with a boiler and gathering the wood to power that boiler to heat up your.
That's not that modern. 1930 modern?
I don't know. I remember, you know, they used to have in Pathmark, the old Pathmark Lava Shalom, they used to have, you know, they used to have those in the fall, the winter, they had those big piles of wood for the fire, you know, for the fireplace that people would sell. That's the image that the Mishnah's talking about. I don't think people are buying that to power there. Okay. So these are the popular answers that appear in the Rishonim, but there's another answer that appears in Nechorot, and that's in the Cheschinuch. So the Cheschinuch says, I'll give you a different answer, Me'atzmo, he says, that who said that Melachas Ba'amr applies to wood altogether? Maybe Melachas Ba'amr only applies to food. It doesn't apply to wood. So that's a startling answer. Like, say such a thing, and is that true? So that's what we have to pick up on, because that's going to be the key to those kids who were jumping up and down those leaves. When we got into this whole pickle last week, we mentioned that it's in a certain community that kids were piling together leaves on Shabbos afternoon and jumping up and down. So besides all the mukta issues, there was a potential very serious Shabbos deraisa taking place. That may have been ma'amir deraisa. It was welcome gedulo. It was ma'amir. The leaves had fallen off the tree. Now they're making a big pile to jump on. That's a very, very serious problem of ma'amir. So unless the Chassidus is going to be able to save the day for us. So hopefully we have to see. So not this week, not next week, not five, whenever we continue. Look, there was the Chassidus. I just forgot to mention, so we'll make a special honorary mention at the end of the show. Be it Tov Sof Tov and Rishis, something like that. So we've had this chus over the course of this year to have this year sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas Ephraim Ben Asher Anshel. And happens we have today is the Bavi Yom. Today actually is the Yurtzeit, so really it's a very special gets a special mention that this year and all the learning that takes place should be Le'ilu Nishmaso. And again, should be only we should only have the source tells and celebrate happy occasions. This should be Le'ilu Nishmaso, the Libertar of the Tzibur.
For anybody to stop in at 7:20, I had a short hand to come next to me at 7:20.